For more talks and meditations, go to GloriaKGreen.com. Getting unstuck from rumination to investigation. So we're going to be talking about getting unstuck, moving from rumination to investigation. Sharon Salzberg says, connecting to your breath when thoughts or images arise is like spotting a friend in the crowd. You don't have to shove everyone else aside or order them to go away. Just direct your attention, your enthusiasm, your interest towards your friend. Oh, you think, there's my friend in that crowd. Oh, there's my breath among those thoughts and feelings and sensations. When we don't have the resources to relate to unpleasant experience, we feel a lot of stress. And the stress triggers either the fight, flight, or freeze response. We fight with ourselves with self-criticism. We flee from others, isolating ourselves. Or we freeze with rumination. Each of these reactions gets us stuck as we try to move away from the unpleasant experience rather than through it. So today we'll focus on how rumination gets us stuck and how we can move from ruminating to investigating. Rumination is being lost in thought, spinning in our worries and regrets and grievances. Our brain overthinks things in its effort to take control and keep us safe. But rumination narrows our focus and it exaggerates our experience. With rumination, we get stuck in the story of, I am so bad, or this is so horrible. And reviewing the story makes us feel like we're in control. It kind of distracts us from the negative emotions that we don't really want to feel. It's more comfortable to feel righteous indignation than to face grief or fear. So the rumination, while it doesn't really help us to think or plan, it definitely doesn't help the problem to go away, even though we think it will. Kristen Neff says, as if when we think about it for the 57th time, the problem is going to go away. Think about what you're trying to accomplish when you ruminate. Chances are you're trying to create a better past. When we fight with reality, reality always wins. We use up a lot of energy ruminating about the past. And that may be why rumination often leads to depression. We ruminate and obsess over the coulda, shoulda, woulda because it would be much more pleasant to change the past than to confront the reality of the present. I know that a lot of my rumination is from back when I was working, and there's a lot of coulda, shoulda, wouldas, and it doesn't do me any good because I'm no longer working there and I can't change the past. But I do have some anger over things that happened. I have some anxiety. And if we try to repress our anger or our fear or our anxiety, we just end up playing whack-a-mole. We push it down and it pops up in another place. But if we turn toward our difficult feelings to see what they really are, we find they're not really as difficult as we were afraid they were going to be. When we look deeply, we see they're not quite so overwhelming and that we really can deal with them. We can't control the thoughts that come up in our mind, but we can use mindfulness to decouple the urge to go into fight, flight, or freeze mode. Mindfulness is about changing our relationship with thoughts, emotions, and body sensations. It's not about trying to get rid of them or to change them. Mindfulness actually rubs reality in our face, showing us cause and effect. Justin Brewer says, put differently, mindfulness is about seeing the world more clearly. If we get lost because our subjective biases keep us wandering around in circles, mindfulness brings awareness of these very biases so we can see how we are leading ourselves astray. Once we see that we're not going anywhere, we can stop, drop the unnecessary baggage, and reorient ourselves. Metaphorically, mindfulness becomes the map that helps us navigate life's terrain. So by coming home to the present moment, we can learn to stop regretting the past and worrying about the future. We can release ourselves from the tangled knot of self-judgment by acknowledging that these are simply thoughts and emotions rising in my mind. So the self-judgment rising in my mind right now is, am I doing enough, good enough talk on this? And am I really providing something that's helpful? And that's just a thought. I don't need to beat myself up for having that thought. It's a human tendency. But I don't need to believe the thought that I'm doing a terrible job either. It may have been that I'm not doing a great job. It may be partially true or it may not be true at all. Just as many of my thoughts, maybe they've been true in the past, but they're not necessarily true now. So I don't need to push the thoughts away. I can look underneath them and see what they're trying to tell me. Our thoughts are simply words or images until we think they're so great and exciting that we can't get them out of our heads. Our thoughts are simply words or images until we think they're so great and so exciting that we can't get them out of our heads. That's rumination, getting stuck at the surface storyline. Looking underneath the thoughts is what moves us from rumination to investigation. We can't force ourselves to stop thinking or to pay attention. Just try not to think of a pink elephant. The way we train our attention is through curiosity, because curiosity feels good and naturally draws us to whatever the object is. And Judson Brewer says there's two kinds of curiosity. There's intellectual curiosity and there's experiential curiosity. We can say, I wonder what is happening as I eat too much sugar. And it's a kind of disembodied curiosity. Or we can really feel how it makes us feel, which is we probably feel like crap after eating a bunch of sugar. If I eat too much sugar, I get a rush that's kind of like a restless feeling, and then I crash. And when I feel that clearly enough, I become less excited about eating sugar in the future. I found that intellectual curiosity leads me back to rumination. I end up analyzing who said what and why over and over again. Experiential curiosity leads to investigation. I get curious about the sensations and the emotions in my body and my mind right now. I can't change the past, so I can't heal the past. But I can change the present, so I can heal the suffering of the present moment. I can focus on the truth of this moment. What happened at work 10 years ago, I can't do anything about. But I can look at this moment and say, I can't change the past, those thoughts don't matter, and I can let them go. Not push them away, but let them go. Sylvia Bornstein says, practice is becoming aware of the negative impulses of the mind. We can say, my mind just got startled. Calm down. This is happening. What should I do next? The only way I can see clearly what's happening is by settling my mind. And that's why we take a mindful pause. When we get triggered, if we can take a couple breaths, it will settle our mind a little, and then we can see more clearly. The more we practice, the more we begin to see clearly the true results of our actions. We have to turn toward our cravings to see what rewards they're really bringing in. Often, in the long run, our cravings bring us more pain than pleasure. Eating that bag of M&Ms sure feels good in the short run, but then we get a stomach ache from eating too much chocolate. And on top of that, we're not happy with what our scale says the next morning. So once we see the results of our old habits that are not pleasant, we can let them go and begin new ones. So rather than ruminating about why can't I quit eating chocolate, what we do is we really pay attention to what's going on and see what reality is. Rumination is living with the hope of a better past. Investigation is focusing on what is happening right now in the present moment. We can turn the light off on our thoughts so we can see what's really here. I really had trouble understanding the difference between rumination and investigation. But I read somewhere that everything looks better from a distance. And this made me realize that I was looking closely, not deeply. And investigation is really looking deeply. When you look at things closely, you see all the flaws. If you look at me from a distance, I look much younger than I am. But when you look closely, you see all my age spots and wrinkles. If you look deeply, you see beneath all of that to who I really am. So to begin to investigate, ask yourself, what's happening in this very moment? What are my senses taking in? What body sensations do I feel? What emotions? Your mind is going to keep trying to bring you back to thinking about the external experience as it thinks that that's going to protect you from feeling any pain. Remember, our inner critic is there to try and keep us from feeling pain. So our inner critic is going to keep directing our thoughts to, but they did this and that was wrong, that wasn't fair, that wasn't right, trying to keep us from pain. But if we can ask ourselves a question that redirects us to the present moment and what we're feeling right now, we don't have to have that pain. So to keep your mind focused, you may want to name what you're feeling. Contraction, tightness, numbness, fear, hollowness, shakiness, shame, anger, grief, self-hatred. It's a good idea to get to know the names of lots of different emotions so that you can just name what you're feeling. And after you've named it, then you ask yourself, what am I believing right now? Am I a victim? Am I stupid? I'm bad. She's bad. She did it to hurt me. What are you believing? And then widen the investigation by asking, how has living with this belief affected my life? If for a long time in my life, I thought if I got too close to friends, I would get rejected. And that impacted my life because I didn't have close friends. But then I asked, what would life be like if I did not believe this? And life is sure a lot more joyful with more close friends than it was when you're holding everyone off at a distance. So how has living with this particular belief impacted my life is a really important question. And then you continue the investigation by asking yourself, what do I need right now? Do I need attention? Do I need safety? Acceptance? Connection? Understanding? Belonging? Love? Listen, and then whatever the response, just imagine if you received that. What would that be like? So you're just sitting there saying, if I need acceptance, and what would it be like if I felt acceptance? And just feel it. And those are the small steps that you need to take to get unstuck. If you're suffering because you're believing untrue thoughts, you have not investigated in a way that's going to release them. It helps us to shake out of our habitual cocoon of thoughts that are sometimes unconscious. And it engages our prefrontal cortex so we know what steps to take to get unstuck. According to Zendel Siegel, our habitual patterns of negative thinking are based on old, well-practiced automatic routines. They're motivated by the goal of escaping, avoiding distressing feelings, or problematic life situations. And these unhelpful routines persist because of the seven drivers of old habits of thinking. The first driver is living on automatic pilot, rather than with awareness and conscious thought. The second is relating to experience through thought, rather than directly sensing. The third is dwelling on the past and the future, exaggerating the past, and creating fantasies of the future, rather than being fully in the present moment. The fourth is trying to avoid, escape, or get rid of unpleasant experiences, rather than approach it with interest and curiosity. The fifth is needing things to be different from how they are, rather than allowing them to just be as they already are. And the sixth is seeing thoughts as true and real, rather than mental events that may not correspond to reality. And the seventh is treating yourself harshly and unkindly, rather than taking care of yourself with kindness and compassion. The good news is that we can learn how to step out and stay out of these ruminative thought cycles, just as we can step out and stay out of bad habits.